Okay, we're back on.
I've remembered suddenly that these things, when Krishnaji would talk about his life, he went to a rather detailed attempt to explain to Alla and me about the theosophic order of things, and the seven masters, and the sort of supermaster, and the Lord Maitreya, and the Buddha, and the Lord of the universe. And he explained that the Lord Maitreya is a living ancient being in Tibet who periodically leaves his own body and enters that of a person. And he hasn't gone on to be a Buddha because humanity is suffering. And it is said that he was Jesus. He took Jesus' body. And I asked Krishnaji if he could see auras.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he used to. And I asked him then if his extraordinary perception in interviews came from such powers. And he said probably.
Mm.
And he told us a story about a man who came to him, and Kay was able to tell him all about himself. And the man was annoyed. You ever heard him tell that story? The man was indignant.
No, but I could well understand it.
It's as though he'd intruded on his life or something.
Yeah.
And as he was talking about these things, he always seemed to know how they occurred, but he never said.
What do you mean, how what occurred?
Well, all these odd things. I mean, how he could see auras and how he could see, for instance, know all about this man when he walked in the room.
Mm-hmm.
One felt that he understood what was going on. But he never explained it.
No. When did this take place?
That took place...
this conversation?
I think it was the same year. I may have been in Chateau de Mimon. Doesn't... May have been earlier, I think, but the same year.
Yeah. How did Krishna? Can you see him describing all this theosophical order of things?
Mm-hmm.
So how did he talk about it? Did he talk about it?
Very factually.
Just very factually. Did as if there was something in it, or as though there was not something in it, or
you couldn't make that statement.
I know.
You've had it too.
I've tried to draw him on it a dozen times.
He would talk about it, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't vouch for it,
say it wasn't true.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
And of course, I was always very. I felt it was not right to pry.
Mm.
And if he wanted to tell me something, wonderful. But if he didn't want to go beyond what he told me, I never asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
Or I sometimes ask questions prefaced by the statement, if you don't want to tell me, please.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll ask it and then forget it if you don't want to tell me about it. And so I never pushed. Perhaps I should have, but I thought that was right to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that also on one of these talks, and he talked about what was actually the process, but he didn't call it that then. And he talked about how he would cry out.
What did he say about the process?
And he said that he suddenly fits of unconsciousness and coma and would come upon him and he would cry out. And his brother was there, and Rosalind, and the Mr. Warrington, who was a theosophist, and he said they never touched the body. There was something. He was so vulnerable in these states, in the fainting too, that anything that sort of impinged upon him physically. If you remember later on, when he talked about, or Mary wrote about, the times in the Tyrol when they were there, and the church bells would ring, and it, he said something about that nearly was the end of me, because the shock of the bells ringing while he was in this state was so great.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like an extreme vulnerability at a time mm-hmm. like this. Mustn't mm-hmm. do anything to shock the body physically, or it would
mm-hmm.
could be fatal. And he said about they never touched the body. He said, when he was telling us about this, I wondered if there was some reason that he was telling us. And he said that his brother wrote it all down, and that the boy had spoken marvelous poetry, and strange things happened. This is during mm-hmm. the process. And we asked what? And he said, rather hesitantly, a star appeared. And I asked where? And he said, above his head. And the boy had no memory of all this, then or now, he said. And I asked if he was aware of what was happening then, and he said, probably he must have. But he couldn't remember. So that was one of the
mm-hmm.
you know, times when he talked about this. Also, on these walks, for instance...
Was that Mary... was that the occasion when you felt the strange presence?
No, that was in the Chateau de Mimon.
I know.
It was earlier.
So that...
I didn't get it then. I didn't... Mm-hmm. At least I don't remember getting mm-hmm. it. My first
Chateau
noticing
Mimon,
it all by
yes.
myself was in the Chateau de Mimon.
And it wasn't this conversation that brought it about?
No. No, this mm-hmm. was an earlier conversation, mm-hmm. which I'm remembering now.
Mm-hmm.
But probably if I'd been more sensitive, mm-hmm. I would have felt it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have come there. It's, in a way, the sort of things that Mary felt.
Mm-hmm.
And which she used to say, do you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
And I had always felt it before he said that,
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.